and welcome to Heaven Sent with Maureen St. Germain. You are listening to us each Friday from the Dr. Pat Network. Using the information we provide, you'll learn useful living to make a meaningful life work. This is talk radio to help you make each day a day of heaven on earth. I'm delighted to be here with you, and our guest today is Dr. Joseph Farrell. He's written 11 books with two in the mill, so we'll bring it up to 13 books. The most recent book that I know about is called Babylon Banksters, The Alchemy of Deep Physics, High Finance, and Ancient Religion, an essay concerning the relationship to be with ether, physics, economics, astrology, alchemy, geomancy, ancient templates, and the politics of suppression. Thank you for being with us. I don't even know where to begin with your experience. You have a doctorate in a word that I don't know how to say. I understand what it means. So why don't you help us out?
Thanks for having me on, Maureen. And the word that my doctorate is in patristics.
And it means the study of the ancient Christian religions. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's the study of the church fathers up to about the year 1500 in the East and about the year 1200 in the Western Church. It sounds like a rather specialized field, but actually it's a field that demands a lot of language, a lot of philosophy, a lot of history of science, a lot of law, and so, you know, it's a rather intense field.
It sounds it, and it sounds like you have a deep passion to understand and bring forward information for people. And so, you know, getting into your book that is currently on the, well, actually all your books are available at Amazon.com and other places, you know, I'd like to know, you know, at Babylon Banksters, we talk so much about what's going on. Is there anything that people can do? You know,
well, yes, I think there is. I think that people, first of all, have to realize that the solution to the economic situation that we're in is very, very simple, and that is to return to the issuance of debt-free money directly by the United States government and bypassing the private monopoly Federal Reserve altogether. It's a very, very simple thing. It's something that people can advocate and write their congressmen and their senators and insist that there be a full audit of the Federal Reserve, number one, and number two, a return to the system of constitutional money that we are supposed to be under. It's really that simple.
So let's start with this. Many people do not have awareness of the Federal Reserve System and how it does manipulate the money. And I think that'd be a great place to start, just giving our listeners a little bit of information about that so that if they have not ever heard this before, they can begin to understand what that really means.
Well, the Federal Reserve, most people think that it is a branch of government, but it isn't. It's no more federal in that sense than Federal Express is. It just has the name federal in it to cloak the activity and the fact that what it is a private monopoly bank that has a monopoly over the loaning of money to the government and to circulate monetized debt as the legal tender of the country. Now, the reason I stress it and put it that way is that there are really two and only two forms of money. Money that is issued by the state is always issued as a receipt against the gross domestic product of the country issuing it. So in other words, it's always debt-free. And it is money, therefore, that can quite literally be increased as the economy grows. And when we had that system, Maureen, under the 13 colonies, we had virtually full employment. So in other words, the other thing that this kind of money does is it breaks the cycle of boom and bust and always having a certain segment of the population that's unemployed and on the state dole. But the other form of money, and I don't even really like to call it money because it's really a facsimile of money. Real money is debt-free. the facsimile of money is monetized debt. In other words, it's a note, a debt note that is circulated as money. And it's always issued by a private bank. Now, here's the thing that everyone knows, but they need to bear in mind that if the Federal Reserve is a private bank, when it is, quote-unquote, issuing money, it is really only loaning money. In other words, it creates the principal, but it never creates the money to pay the interest. So, in other words, there will never be enough money in circulation to pay the interest on the principal. So, in other words, to break the cycle, you have to break the monetary philosophy behind the cycle, and that is, again, to return to constitutional money.
So it sounds like the politics behind this is to deliberately make sure there's not enough.
Exactly. And the other part of the politics behind it is that if you are beholden to that system, you will never, ever openly admit or discuss the real reform that's needed. So, in other words, I look at both political parties as complicit because so long as neither one are willing to address openly the fact that we are not under a constitutional system of money, then they can talk all they wish about financial reform and fiscal responsibility, but it is irresponsible in the extreme to attempt to fix a budget and federal spending if you are under a system where monetized debt is being circulated as money, and therefore you never have enough money in circulation to pay the interest on the principal. That is the height of irresponsibility.
I think it was last week or the week before the Federal Reserve started its quantitative easing program.
Yes.
And all kinds of business news all over the world are just screaming bloody murder, but you don't even hear it in the American press.
Right.
And so, you know, from one vantage point, doesn't that make more money? I'm deliberately asking you a question that sounds like I don't know what I'm talking about, so I can, you know, follow this through for people who don't really understand it. Does it dilute the economy or does it expand the economy? If they're printing more money, wouldn't it expand it?
Well, that's the reasoning behind why they're doing it. They are trying to put money into circulation and boost confidence and increase consumer spending. But as we've seen, the exact opposite seems to be taking place because no one really knows the effect of an experiment that large on an economy this large, okay? So, yeah, you have a situation where they're experimenting and the media is basically not reporting it because you have to remember a very simple fact. The same banks, the same corporations that have major stock interest in the Federal Reserve Bank are the same people that are behind the media. So naturally, they're not going to talk openly about the whole system itself that the Federal Reserve represents. The only time that we saw any open discussion of that fact was the 2008 presidential election with the candidacy of Ron Paul, and you saw what the media did to him. So, you know, you're never going to get a straight answer out of those people.
The proactive action then is to, you know, get on board with your congressman. But so many people feel like their acting in that regard, you know, doesn't make a difference.
Right.
So what is the difference, you know?
I can understand the frustration because we are dealing with two very, very corrupt political parties whose monopoly over the American political system, you know, has led us to the situation we're in. But I think the last election results are being read very clearly by the incoming group of Republicans, because I've heard them say over and over again that this is not an endorsement of the Republican Party, and they're right, it is not. It is rather the expression of the fact that the American people have nearly reached the end of their tether. So I do think that under these political circumstances, if enough people get on the bandwagon and write their congressmen and senators and insist that behind all of their political rhetoric about fixing the system, if they do not address the issue of the Federal Reserve and its power over the issuance of this nation's currency, then nothing absolutely nothing at all over the long term is ever going to really be fixed. So I do think the people have power and that they can do it. It's just a matter of getting the message out to enough people and then getting them to write.
Excellent. Well, our guest today is Dr. Joseph Farrell, and he is an expert and wonderful researcher. He's written 11 books. His book that's most recently printed is called The Alchemy of Deep Physics, High Finance, and Ancient Religions, with a subtitle called An Essay Concerning the Relationship with Ether Physics, Economics, Astrology, Alchemy, Geomancy, Ancient Templates, and the Politics of Suppression. We've been speaking about suppression for the moment, and hopefully after this break, we will be speaking about astrology, alchemy, and other forms of science that aren't widely known and how they relate to what's going on now.
You're listening to an encore presentation of The Dr. Pat Show. Today is not a call-in show since it's an encore presentation. Please visit thedrpatshow.com to sign up for the newsletter and to find out the latest information on guests and promotions. Again, you're listening to an encore presentation of The Dr. Pat Show.
Hi, this is Maureen St. Germain again. We're back, and we're talking with Dr. Joseph Farrell, who is an expert on many areas, science, religion, astrology, alchemy, geomancy, and ancient temples. And we're speaking today with him about the politics of the American money system and why it is the way it is. And he has been describing with us the use of the Federal Reserve and why we really don't need it and why we should be complaining to our senators and congressmen. But now we want to shift a little and talk about two other areas, astrology and greed. And I'd first like you to address what the role of greed has in this, and then we'll go into the astrology.
Well, greed is very simple. If you put yourself in the position of these private international currency-creating monopoly bankers, if you're in the situation where you have a monopoly over the issuance of a nation's currency, as I said in the previous section, you're creating the principal but never the interest. So in other words, you have a guaranteed income on the interest debt that you generate by lending money to the states that give you that privilege. So, yeah, greed is the major driving factor here. Greed and the, quite literally, the lust for power over every other human being that is enslaved in that sort of system. So, yeah, this is the basic motivation. It's a gigantic Ponzi scheme, if you want to get right down to it.
Many communities across America now are issuing their own script.
Yes.
I think of one city in particular, Ithaca, New York, that
Ithaca,
pretty wonderful job of using the script and creating a real awareness for it.
Right.
Does that insulate them?
Well, yes, I think it does. And let me give you yet another example of a place that issues debt-free money, and that's
okay.
China. China is, you know, has a booming economy, not only because of the cheap cost of labor there and the fact that everyone, including the United States, has moved so much of their manufacturing to that country. But the other reason is that China's money, the yuan, is issued by the Chinese government itself. It's debt-free money. They are not borrowing from the Rockefellers. They're not borrowing from the Rothschilds. They have no equivalent Federal Reserve private bank that's issuing their money and thus creating an interest-bearing debt. So, yeah, Ithaca is insulated from that, as is China. In the case of both places, however, you know, the insulation is only in terms of the relative freedom that that gives those communities from debt. But they are, like everyone else, tied into the global economy, and therefore they're going to be affected by the global economy, but to a much less drastic extent, I would think.
Okay, so now I'd like to, you know, turn it a little bit towards astrology.
Uh-huh.
And tell us how the astrology plays into it, and is there a way we can use the astrology to fix it?
Well, astrology, to answer that question, I have to give a bit of a preliminary overview.
In my
view, astrology represents a decayed science from a very high civilization that pre-existed Egypt, ancient Sumer, and so on and so forth. In other words, what we're looking at is a decayed legacy. And we have to understand something else about astrology in ancient times. And this is quite the crucial point. And that is that astrology back then was done not, you know, on the basis of an individual horoscope that you went through a grocery line, you know, and picked up a little sun sign book and read your horoscope. What it was it was a, what we would call now a mundane horoscope. In other words, it was a horoscope cast for the king and therefore for an aggregate group of people that he represented, namely his country. All right?
Uh-huh.
So we have a very, very different view of astrology back then. Now, in terms of your question, if we look at the four major depressions that this country suffered in its history, the depression of 1789 to 93, the depression that followed the American Civil War, and so on and so forth, with each of these great depressions, there was an astrological configuration known as the Grand Cross that either presaged them or accompanied them. Now, the reason I put that in the book is because there is a great deal of evidence, Maureen, that suggests that there is a correspondence between planetary positions and all manner of human social activity, including human economic activity. And moreover, if you read the book carefully, I point out that this sort of knowledge is something that certain major banking houses highly prize and have sought, but they tell very, very, very few people that they do this. So in other words, something about this is deeply rooted in the physics of celestial mechanics. And with that, there lies a tale. Because, of course, if you go back to ancient times, the ancient temples had two things in common. Number one, they were usually responsible for the issuance of money in those ancient cultures. You know, you need only think of Christ driving the money changers out of the temple to understand this.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, these ancient temples were all associated with, guess what, astrology. So there's your finance physics connection, and it's been there since ancient times.
So do you think that the understanding of the cycles is used to deliberately, okay, wait for my moment when I know this guy's weak, and then hit them when they're down? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, yes. There is a vast database, and I get into that in the book, concerning financial cycles. And basically what that data suggests is that while governments can do little to change the overall pattern of a cycle, given its possible foreknowledge of such cycles, the banks and governments can either exacerbate or ameliorate the trend that the cycle is in. That namely to say, if the business cycle is in an upswing or a downswing, it can, by its policies, exacerbate the tendency that the cycle is in. So yes, if you have knowledge of these cycles, if you have foreknowledge that they occur in certain periods of time, and if you can plot out when the cycle is going to take an upswing or a downturn, then if you are evilly inclined, yes, you can exacerbate the overall tendency that the cycle is in.
I now understand, and this follows along with what I teach my clients and listeners, that knowledge is power, and when
Yes. You
know there's a cycle a certain way, you can act in a different way, much like we used to use the old AAA map. The bridge is out. We don't have to go that route. We can take a different one. We don't have to stand in line and wait for the bridge to be built again.
Yes, exactly.
Knowing these cycles, we know that there's been a similar Grand Cross this past summer. Is that the Grand Cross you are referring to?
Yes, it is. grand crosses usually presage significant change. In other words, a widespread change in a particular culture. And again, we have to remember that horoscopes originally were done for entire nations rather than individuals. So yes, a grand cross signifies major changes happening. And of course, we saw one last summer, and oh, looky, looky, what just happened in this last election. We had major political change of a magnitude that we haven't seen in almost 70 years.
What does a person do for their own safety, let us say? Not necessarily safety, but, you know, how do I choose my path in spite of what's going around me in case I can't impact the government and I somehow...
Well, it's important for people to understand I'm not a financial advisor, and I don't pretend to be. But my answer to that question would be essentially spiritual. And it all hinges upon one very important principle, and that is that there is a direct interface, or a direct link between consciousness and the physical medium.